This is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
The coronavirus has people across the country swarming stores, stocking up on food, hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and other hunkered down supplies. And as we all face restricted movement or quarantines, supermarkets are running out of staples like bread and canned goods in many places. And all of those eerie photos of empty food shelves, they don't tell the whole story. Miguel Gomez can help explain how all this rapid bulk purchasing could affect our food supply in the short and long term. He's the Robert Tobin Professor of Applied Economics and Management at Cornell University. Miguel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Should we be worried about food shortages during this pandemic?
I don't think we should be worried, but we should be attentive to what's going to happen in the next few months with the supply chain. In the short run, we have seen shortages of food for certain categories in the grocery stores, because just people are buying more than usual, in some cases 50% more, 40% more in every product category. So this is a temporary jump in demand that is going to go back to normal very soon. Also, we see shortages in the stores because people are eating less in restaurants and buying more at supermarkets because they want to eat more at home, as our governments are indicating us that we should eat less out and more at home to be more in our house and not with places where there are too many people. So this is causing very dramatic short-run disruptions in the supply chain, and that's why you see these shortages of food in the supermarkets, which should be resolved in a matter of days because the supply chains solve these problems relatively easy in the short run.
So, Miguel, because people aren't going to restaurants, do you expect them to buy 50% more each time they go to supermarkets for the foreseeable future? Or is this just a one-time thing?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think people are going to buy relatively more in the supermarkets just because they are buying less from restaurants. But it's not going to be that increase that we have seen in the past 2 weeks. So I think over time, you know, in the next month or so, we are going to see more stable demand in supermarkets. So we will see, of course, some here and there, some stock outs of certain product categories. But overall, when we think about all the product categories, we should be confident that there is going to be enough food to feed our families in the next, in the next weeks.
So what about the small stores compared to these large supermarkets? Will either of them have a difference in their supply methods?
That's a very good question, because bringing the food to smaller independent stores is typically more expensive than bringing food to big supermarkets. So it may be possible for larger supermarkets, it may be easier for them to replenish their shelves. And perhaps for smaller stores, it will be more difficult because they rely more on wholesalers and distributors than large supermarkets, which own their own distribution centers. So that's a good point. Smaller stores may have a more difficult time replenishing the stores and take a little bit more of time in doing so.
There's growing evidence of international trade disruptions. How might those disruptions change the food supply in the U.S.? Are we likely not to see certain items that we're used to eating here in the U.S.?
That is correct. Global supply chains tend to be longer and involve more businesses. And the possibility of disruptions in the global supply chains is higher. Let me give you an example. For example, we import as a country a wide variety of fruits and vegetables, you know, avocados, tropical fruits, certain types of vegetables. And it may be more difficult in the future if there are supply chain disruptions that affect international trade or cause congestions in our ports due to the current situation. So that is true. It is important. We may become, interestingly, more local in our food consumption as consumers. We will consume more local products.
So do you think that's one of the future trends that might be influenced by the coronavirus, the future of food in America might actually be more local because of what's happening today with this virus?
I think so. I think that's a possibility, at least in the short run. I believe that the food supply chains and the food system is becoming globally integrated. But I think at least in the short run, we may see a change, a reduction in trade.
And finally, what can we do to tweak our own buying patterns to help the larger market to ensure that we always have food to eat?
I believe it is important to do not panic and to trust the food system that we are going to have enough food to eat. So if you buy too much, you may, at the end of the day, may be wasting food because you are not going to be able to use it also. So to stock up, but not as we have seen in the past few weeks. The second aspect is we can change our diets to, I think it is important at this moment to move from what we call fancy foods to more basic foods that can be stored for a long time. You know, we need to think about lentils, beans, rice, and commodities that you can storage and are nutritious. So we may need to alter our consumption patterns depending on what's available in the stores. Some products are going to be more easily found than others.
So you're telling us to say goodbye to fancy foods?
No, not at all. But to be ready to maybe not find some of the products that you may want in the store.
Thank you so much. Miguel Gomez is the Robert Tobin Professor of Applied Economics and Management at Cornell University. Miguel, so good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Darty.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.